Well, I want to share with you a little bit this morning about this church where Jezebel taught. Now, Thyatira, that's not a word that comes easily from our lips, like Ephesus or Laodicea or one of the other more well-known churches among the seven. But this was a church in a city whose name means odor of affliction. It seems to have be tied with the idea of sacrifice. And so the name came to be understood as a name that means a continual sacrifice. You know from your study of these seven churches that this was a religious area. You know, we are a religious country, are we not? But I'm afraid that we are not a Christian country in the truest sense of that word. This was a religious area. There were many people who worshipped. But, you know, this idea that, you know, the important thing is that you have a God that you worship is a doctrine spawned in the pit of hell. Because there are gods that are not gods, that are worshipped as gods. There are those who worship under the name of a god, who believe in things that are contrary and sometimes 180 degrees contrary to the gospel and to the truth of God's word. This was a religious area. It was an area that prided itself, a city that prided itself in its religions. It was between Pergamos and Sardis, 27 miles from Sardis. If you have your maps in the back of your Bible, you can look it up. Dyeing was one of the main industries in Thyatira. Now that's dyeing spelled D-Y-E-I-N-G, not D-Y-I-N-G. Of course, dyeing is an industry everywhere in that second sense. But this is dyeing in this sense of fabric. Now, who in the Bible do you know that may be from, that you know is from Thyatira? Some of you know who that is. Lydia. Lydia was from Thyatira. Thank you, Pat. You are a scholar. And we appreciate your teaching and your knowledge of the Scriptures. Lydia was from Thyatira. And so it had this commerce there. She was a seller of purple, we're told in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. The principal deity of the city was Apollo. And there was another superstition which seems to have been brought there by some of the corrupted Jews of the dispersed tribes. So there was a large Jewish community there as well. But that superstition was focused on a shrine that stood outside the walls dedicated to Sambatha, and whom some Bible scholars identify as the identity spoken of here in this letter as Jezebel. This sidelight may help us to understand the obscure passage in this letter that we read to the church of Thyatira that speaks of Jezebel there, which some interpret. Now, I know you're going to, some of you are going to be offended at this, but some interpret this to be the wife of the pastor of the Thyatira church. Now, I don't know that to be a fact. This is just what some have supposed, and I believe that there's some tradition that seems to indicate that this may have been the wife of the pastor of that church in Thyatira. Now there are some very important and sobering words that Christ had to say to that church that I believe relate to the time in which we live. I don't believe that we are that far removed from the society of that day. We have paganism that has crept into our nation. We have this idea that we want to tolerate everything so we believe in nothing. And we see the moral consequences of that kind of thinking and that kind of philosophy that was so true of the people of Thyatira. We ought to hear what Christ had to say to his church in the city of Thyatira, because there are words here that I believe he wants to say to us as well. Three divisions of this letter to the church of Thyatira I want us to look at. Here in this letter, we can learn the lesson of Christ exalted. A Christ exalted. In verse 18, if you'll look with me at this letter, and as Jesus does with all of these letters to the seven churches, he tells the church who it is that is speaking. Now, when you stand up and speak, it's because you want people to know what you think and what you believe. And when you do so, people cannot help but notice. And Jesus did that here. He wanted us to focus upon Him. The cure for the ills of any and every church is to see Jesus, to put their focus back on Him. Because if we lose sight of Jesus, then we've lost sight of our purpose as a church. Our purpose is to magnify Jesus, is it not? And our purpose is to bring others to know Him as Savior. Now, I don't know that the church had altogether lost that focus, but I believe that there was some danger here, that they had lost some of that focus upon Jesus. A church that has lost sight of Jesus is merely going through the motions and is soon to die. And that was true of that church in Thyatira, sadly. As it was with most of these churches, they are no longer in existence because they had lost their first love and lost their focus on Jesus. We must have a renewed vision of the exalted Christ if we are to continue as a church which fulfills God's mission. It's not enough, I don't believe, that we merely talk about God and about doing good works. Here was a church that was noted. In fact, Jesus commended them for their works. He said, "You're doing more now than you did at the first." And apparently they were faithful in doing good works. A church ought to do good works, but those good works are not going to last very long if we lose our focus on Jesus. He is the reason why we do what we do as a church. I want us to notice here that in the description that Jesus gives, I want us to notice the voice of His exaltation, the voice of the Son of God. He said here in verse 18, He said, "These are the words of the Son of God." Now that's obvious, or it seems obvious, but the Bible says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." And I wonder if our hearts sometimes do not become hard because we have neglected to hear His voice. Jesus is speaking to His church today. Are we listening? There used to be a commercial on television, I think it was E.F. Hutton, wasn't it? That had this advertising slogan, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." Well, when Jesus talks, His church ought to listen. And we ought to be eager to hear what He would have to say to us, even if there are words of rebuke, because they are words that are spoken in love to us. Here's a church that had lost its focus upon the Word of God, I believe. That seems to be the case. But there is also here eyes of exaltation described. It says here that Jesus said His eyes are like blazing fire. Here is a church that forgot that they were under the gaze of the Son of God. Now it seems like more and more Doesn't it seem to you to be the case that you can't go anywhere without somebody watching you? Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we'll in a store or some other place and we'll look up and there's a camera. Or we'll actually see ourselves on a television monitor. It seems like everywhere now there people are being watched. And I read an article on the internet, on MSNBC, about what's happening in Great Britain. Now, we think that it's bad here, where, you know, if you think that is a bad thing, maybe it might, you know, make us comb our hair different, or, you know, make us, you know, more conscious of our appearance. That may not be necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, to feel like, you know, when you go out, there are satellites up there. And those satellites can see almost anything. You know, they can probably even see that bald spot on the back of my head. You know, it makes you a little self-conscious to know that you're being watched. But in Great Britain, they have cameras everywhere in London, I'm told, on the street. And they have a situation there that they've lived with for many years, the IRA, and the violence that has come to Great Britain, and that strife with the Irish Republic over there, with some of the more radical elements. But, you know, they feel like they have to watch everything. And now it's coming to our country because we have this terrorist threat. And many believe that it's only a matter of time before we've lost our privacy altogether. But there is someone who is watching everything. And he's described here as having eyes like a flame of fire. Sometimes we forget that. We forget that Jesus is watching. Sometimes we may think that he doesn't even really care. But here is a picture of Jesus as he is today. He is watching his church. He knows what we are doing. And more importantly, he knows why we are doing what we are doing. And there are feet of exaltation here. We're told that he had his feet. His feet were like burnished bronze. And there in Thyatira, there was a... There were guilds. A lot of, I suppose you would call it a blue-collar town today, because there were a lot of these guilds in the town that were formed by different vocations. Different manufactories were there. And it seems that there was had been perhaps some problems there in the church because of the guilds that had kind of made the church lose its focus. And I don't understand everything that happened, but this seems to me to be a church that had become worldly and that had lost its focus again upon Jesus. We need to focus upon Him because He is what is really important. And those feet of Jesus are walking amongst us. In Revelation chapter 1, we read about how He is walking among the seven golden candlesticks, which I believe is another way of describing His church. We are to be His lighthouses. We are to shed His light around us. And so, we can learn the lesson of a Christ exalted here. We can also learn the lesson of a church examined. Every one of these churches, Jesus had something to say about. And with one, I believe just one exception, Jesus had something to criticize about that church. Now, I know we don't like to be criticized. We don't like to be told that our tie's too long, or You know, our colors don't match. Or we're not doing things in the right way. But I think mostly that's because of the source of the criticism. We know that nobody's perfect, and except one, and that's Jesus. And when Jesus criticizes, he does so in love. He wants us to get better. And Jesus said here, I know your deeds, your love and your faith and your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at the first. Now these were words of sincere compliments. Jesus loved the church of Thyatira.